Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 8 of the World of Goldcraft. As always, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As usual, we'll go through my week in goldmaking, how it's gone, what's been working, what hasn't been working. We'll talk a little bit about the game. Not a lot this week, though, because there hasn't really been any interesting news related to the goldmaking part. And we'll talk about our discussion point this week, which is going to be a bit, maybe a bit strange for some of you, but I'm going to talk about mental models and how you can use mental models to, like, think about gold making and how essentially that should inform, like, what you're actually doing in terms of markets you enter and how you enter those markets. So that's what we're going to do this week. So the first thing first, like, how did this week go? For me, I made a ton of gold selling BOEs. Like, this market has started working really, really well for me, especially on my challenge realm. I haven't got a lot of volume on my other realms, but that's because I'm just focusing all of my, pretty much all of my auction house time on my challenge realm. I sold 11 BOEs this week, which is really good. I haven't calculated the exact profit margin, but I'm moving like hundreds of thousands of gold per week in BOEs, which is great. My crafting markets have been falling slightly behind relative to BOEs, but that's because I haven't, I've been a bit too lazy in terms of restocking, particularly Darkmoon decks, which I have not been stocking as fast as they sell. And I'm also still missing a couple of jewel crafting panthers that I just haven't found the time to craft. So that's something I need to work on, because those are pretty high value. I did sell a jade panther for 55k, which is pretty good, but I'm still like completely out of ruby panthers, I believe, which isn't what it should be. I've also been experimenting with a couple of new markets. You've heard about augment runes and flask flipping, which I'm still not 100% sure how well it works or how well my setup works. I'm still experimenting with it. But I've also been trying some new stuff that's crafting related. Mostly I've been working with the jewel crafting here. So I recently started selling the uncut versions of the various uncommon gems you get from prospecting. They sell quite well in stacks of 10 apparently. So that's really good. That's a way to just move some more gold, and it's making me want to spend some more time prospecting. I've also had some success selling the crafted uncommon rings that are required level 111. So these rings they're selling for almost double their crafting cost, which is really good. The idea behind selling these rings is very simple. Like, players are going to be wanting these rings because it's a way to get a guaranteed socket at level 111. So you can just like pop in your XP gem and level quickly. And I've been selling them fairly regularly. So it seems really, it seems like it's working really well for me, or relatively to like the item. But, like, I'm not selling tens of these a day. I'm selling like a couple a week, but it's easy gold. Like material flipping and blacksmithing gear, I'm still in these markets, and they're still working well. I haven't restocked the honorable combatant gear in a while, so I'm gonna have to do that. I think I'm running low. At least my sales have been a bit lower lately, so that's something I'm also looking to get more back into the swing of things. But like, BOEs have been so good, so I've been just focusing on them, focusing like really heavily on getting better at finding deals and running shopping scans more often, because that's how you really make a lot of gold with BOEs. So that's the idea, and that's what I've been focusing on. So if we turn our attention to this week in the game, there hasn't really been any news on the PTR about anything that's related to gold making. Patch 8.1 should still be quite far away. Like, at least I'm not expecting it. It could come in December, but we'll see. Like, maybe the beginning of December. It's like the earliest, I think. And if we look at what happened in Legion, we had Nighthold release in January. with a very similar release date for the expansion. So I think we could see something similar for this expansion. I don't think they want to release a raid just before Christmas, so we'll see what they choose. They could just release the patch before Christmas and then push the raid back until January, which is also something they've done before. This will obviously have an impact in terms of the BOE market. If you're looking to enter it, then you'll want to know when the new raid drops and you get new BOEs and the old ones get sort of obsoleted. Because you can get stuck with a lot of stock if you invest at the wrong time. So what we're all, of course, looking more forward to, I guess, is BlizzCon, which will be coming in a very short amount of time. So that's going to be a lot more exciting. I don't really think that we'll get a lot of World of Warcraft news this year. I think the major, I'm expecting like the major World of Warcraft related news this year to be focused on Classic. And if we get anything for BFA, I think it's going to be more in terms of game systems, new raids, anything they've planned for the later patches. But I don't think they'll be talking about professions or gold making, because Blizzard doesn't have a that's not a high profile focus of the WoW team and Blizzard, and I just don't think that we'll see anything like that shakes it up or hear anything that's related to our little corner of the World of Warcraft so we'll see. I think we'll be getting larger news about some of the other Blizzard franchises. Everyone's speculating about Diablo 4, which could be announced. I think that Classic is one of the things that's going to generate the most hype if they tell us more about that. So I think they'll, but obviously they'll want to try to shore up the BFA numbers, which has been dropping off. Subscription numbers have been dropping off quite quickly this time around. So we'll see, there could be something exciting there for us. So that's it for the week. So let's dive into this week's discussion point, which is mental models and why I think they're important. So this is obviously a concept that's not like directly or primarily related to gold making or even playing video games. But the idea is sort of pretty universal for any area where of the world or any system that you're trying to understand, trying to utilize or trying to function within. So a mental model is, of course, your image or view of how a concept or system functions. If your mental model is accurate, then it will be easy for you to take the right actions to generate good results. And you'll be generating much better results than someone with a bad mental model. So this is of course why I think it's important, because if you have like the right mental model of gold making, then it will be very easy for you to find potential markets. It will be very easy to figure out how you want to set up your TSM settings and your price levels, because you'll have like a mental model of who's going to be buying this, who am I going to be buying this from, how am I getting the items, why does this sell. These are the sort of questions that you can answer if you have a good mental model of how the world works or how gold making works. So one of the cool things about thinking about systems in terms of mental models is that you can update your mental models continuously. So they'll just keep getting better over time as you figure out stuff that works and you try to think about how this changes your overall model. So let's dive into a couple of examples right away so you can get a better grasp of what I'm thinking about here. So I have a very, very simple mental model about how farming works in World of Warcraft. And this is completely unrelated to which farming method this is. For me, farming is just a way to turn my time into gold. There's a couple of extra steps involved, of course, but it's a way to turn my time into gold. And I don't have too much time to spend. So I prefer not to farm. Like, my time is limited. I prefer higher value per hour spent gold making methods. And there's really like, as long as you have the gear or the class, there's no way you can really scale past the best like farming spot. You can slightly increase your efficiency, of course, but like ultimately there's a hard cap to how good you can get at farming a spot. And once you reach that, then you're only exchanging your time for money. And that's how I think about it. So that's one example. And then we can take another example, which is sort of my idea of the top-down view of gold making. This is something I've written about and probably talked about before, because it's a pretty basic model, and it's sort of, it underpins everything I do on the auction house. And the idea is very simple. Like, gold making is all about providing other players with items or services that are useful to them. As long as you can provide players with something that's useful to them, they'll be willing to pay you and you can get rich. Especially if you can supply something at scale, or if it's something that's hard to get for them. So that's just it. Like, find a way to provide value to other players. It's very simple. This can be done in myriads of different ways, which is I dive into on the blog all the time. There are tons of TSM guides that I've written for specific markets. And of course, the value in all of these markets is the item I'm selling, which is valuable to other players, or the item you're selling if you're using some of my guides. Because ultimately, like, players are going to be, they're going to be paying for stuff that's useful to them, and that's usually in World of Warcraft, it's usually stuff that either increases the power of their characters or makes them look cooler. Because that's also another mental model I have about what World of Warcraft as a game is about. And I think that World of Warcraft is, at its core, an RPG, a role-playing game, and it's all about improving your character. It's about making your character more like how you want your character to be. So you want it to be powerful, and you want it to look cool, and of course, whatever looks cool is very different from player to player, but those are like the things people are always focused on. They want to improve their character over time. That's like the main driving motivation. At least that's my model of how World of Warcraft, what World of Warcraft is as a game, and it's worked quite well in terms of generating gold for me. So I think, I don't know if it's true though, because that's also an interesting fact or interesting point about mental models. It doesn't actually matter so much if they're strictly speaking true or not. What matters is whether or not they're useful. And so, like, it can be, you can get the causality or correlation or whatever. You can get something completely wrong in terms of which event influences which. But if it allows you, if using this mental model allows you to make the right decisions anyway, then it doesn't actually matter. Because ultimately, it's making the right decisions that's going to generate the outcomes you want, which is usually going to be for us goblins, it's going to be a lot of gold, which is what we're all looking for. So it doesn't actually matter if my idea that World of Warcraft is a game about improving your character is right. Like, World of Warcraft could be a game about killing monsters with your friends. Maybe that's what the game is all about, and then players are just improving their characters so that they can go kill monsters with their friends in a raid. That would probably be equally useful for in terms of selling power increasing items. I could still figure out that flipping BOEs is likely going to be valuable, and that selling enchants is going to work because players want to get more powerful so they can kill more difficult bosses. So that's just one way. Like, you could have two completely different mental models about how the game works, and you'd still like be figuring out that the same markets are useful. So that's pretty cool, I think, and that's it's something that you should think spend a bit more time thinking about. Like, what is your mental model of the game? What is your mental model of gold making? And there's especially like one very insidious, very dangerous problem that you'll want to avoid heavily, and that is having a negative mental model. Because there's been said, I think it's Henry, I think, I don't remember who it was that said it, but the quote goes, whether you think you can or can't, you're right. So essentially, if you believe that you're going to fuck something up or not succeed at something, then you're not going to succeed at it. Like, you need to believe in yourself, otherwise you'll never get off the ground. So it's really important to not, like, think about gold making as something that's too hard for you, or something that's impossible or only possible for people with a lot of background in economics or statistics or anything else. Like, all of those are gonna be, like, you can't have those mental models, because then you won't succeed. So you need to think about gold making ways that make it easy for you and make it seem easy to you. And you'll also notice that the mental models that I've mentioned so far that I'm using are extremely simple. Like, they're pretty simple. So goal making is about helping other players or providing value to other players. That's like a simple concept. Everyone can understand that. And the same with my mental model for farming. It's I spend my time and I get gold in return. And this is something that's, this is personal preference though, but I much prefer extremely simple mental models. I think that's the simpler they are, the easier they are to actually use in practice, the easier it is to figure out how you should act to test your mental models and how you should act to use your mental models to get as much gold as you can. So another idea I have is that a lot of players dislike crafting, and a lot of players don't really enjoy professions in the game. So this means that I think that crafted markets will almost always generate a 20% profit margin as long as the item is useful. So that means that I'll earn. It doesn't have to be 20%, but I think that it will be a profit margin that makes it desirable for crafters to spend their time crafting, which for me is going to be a minimum of 20%. So that's why I think that crafting professions, as long as they can generate items that are useful, will always be a good way to make gold, because people just don't enjoy them. So I've talked about the models, but the point of these models is, of course, to use them to act out, to make decisions. And the most important decisions I've been making in gold making is, of course, setting up my trade skill master settings that are essentially a written down version of how I view a market. As an example, and one of my most popular posts in BFA has been material flipping, which has worked really well as a market. I've talked about this a lot. So the idea is pretty simple. Our materials are generated and used in different amounts throughout the day and throughout the week. And that means that you can make gold by buying when the prices are low, because there's a lot of materials posted, and you can sell them when the prices are higher. That's like the basic idea behind flipping, and that's also like my basic model of flipping. When either demand or supply varies over time, you can buy when it's cheap and sell when it's not cheap. So that's, as you notice, once again, I'm using extremely simple language to describe the concept. I did use supply and demand, which might some of you might not be familiar with unless you've listened to a lot of economists or, I don't know, had a class of microeconomics. But supply is just the number of items available on the auction house, and demand is what players are willing to buy or pay, and how many items players are willing to buy from the auction house. So it's from a mental model that economists have of markets, but it's not particularly important in this case to dive into that. The idea is just that at some points there will be a lot more items on the auction house, and this will drive the price down, and then you can buy cheap materials, and then at the later point in time, players will be restocking. Some big time potion crafter will buy out all the herbs to restock potions, and the price will go up. There's also another mental model I have that's playing in here, and that's that players and people are generally quite lazy. They will be, which means they'll always be willing to pay a slight premium, which means paying slightly more if they can get something faster or in a more convenient manner. That's the idea behind, that's like the mental models that underpin how my material flipping settings are made. So I have the maximum shopping price, which is 80% of DB market, which is just like, this is the level that I'll get a decent amount of materials, but I'll still be buying them when they're fairly cheap. And then I repost them at 100% DB market, which is like the exact market price. And I won't undercut players below that. Like, I'm not trying to be the cheapest. I'm trying to be slightly more expensive, but my items are always available in the most convenient stack sizes. So I'm specifically targeting players that are don't want to spend a lot of time clicking auctions. They just want to buy like two stacks of 200 and be done with it. So that's the idea. That's why my TSM settings in this market are the way they are. That's sort of the power of mental models. Like, I've thought about like, who am I trying to buy materials from? Who am I trying to sell materials to? What can I charge to successfully sell items to these players? All of this is sort of answered in a couple of quite simple mental models that players are lazy and that demand varies or supply varies over time. And you can see that this sort of framework can be very useful because it'll help you figure out like how to make TSM settings or how to decide what price you want to post at, because you can just undercut everyone else, but that's not always the best way to sell your items, especially for fast selling items. And in some cases, you may even want to use larger undercuts, which is a legitimate strategy, and I'll probably talk about that some other day because there's a lot of hate for large undercuts, but it can make a ton of sense in certain cases. So that's sort of the idea. So I encourage you to spend a little bit of time just thinking about gold making without sitting in front of a computer, preferably. Just like do it in the shower or at the gym or whatever. Just spend a little time thinking about like how does what I said about my mental models fit with how you view the game, how you view professions, or how you view flipping or anything else. Just think about it and then try to think about, okay, how does my model of the game make it easy or hard for me to figure out new markets or to figure out how I want to set up TSM? Because there are quite large differences between gold makers about how we prefer our TSM settings and pricing strings. And I think you'll find that a lot of these are related to the fact that our mental models of the game and our mental models of gold making are quite different. And that's something that I think is perhaps under-communicated, and that's one of the reasons why just copying someone's TSM settings isn't going to be like the long-term best solution for anyone, because you're gonna want to tailor your setup to your own view of the game, because that's always going to be the most successful. So I hope you enjoyed this. If you enjoyed the show and wanna have more content about gold making, you can read all about gold making on my blog at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so through patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. You'll get 3 days of early access to all of the episodes, as well as all of the guides and everything that's posted on the blog. So that's pretty great. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Until next time, good night, Azeroth.